It's episode 9 of Dead FM, Lupercalifragilistic Triskaidekaphobia, folks. Frigga Triskaidekaphobia. Lupercalifragilistic Triskaidekaphobia. That's right, you're going to find out what the hell all that means today on the show. Got lots of good stuff coming up, and now the news. Dead FM News, literally man on the street out here. Last weekend we had a Patreon shoot with Zombie Orpheus. We're doing the Patreon crowdfunding video. Dead Gentleman joining forces with Zombie Orpheus to create ongoing monthly content for you. Monthly comedy improv, sketch comedy. We've got a few other shows in the works. Dead Gentleman bringing some thoughts and ideas of our own to the slate. What they're going to do also is they're going to package up and kind of launch a series of what I would call pilot episodes. They're going to do a pilot season. And several people have pitched in their own pilots, what they're going to do. And we have compiled those together, and we're going to crowdfund them and see which ones you want to see. Once the pilots go live, then you get to vote what you want to see continue on. So that's going to be interesting. A couple of them I know that have been in there. It's busy tonight. I know that there's a gamers one in there with some familiar faces, don't you know? And we even have a Demon Hunters one. It's not going to be a little bit different than what you might be expecting. Entitled Yoda Initiative. Christian Doyle's been developing that one for a long time. Pretty excited to see that. The pitch was awesome. Anyway, so Patreon shoot last weekend, and it went great. Gabriel Gonda, the director of Dark Dungeons, directed that shoot. Did a fine job. I was intimidated, I have to say. He's far more professional than I've ever had to work with, and he's a really great guy. I enjoyed working with him. Moving on. Demon Hunters role-playing game, Economy of Terrors. The core rules are close to playtesting release. We also have Jimmy McMichael just turned in what he considers a crappy rough draft. And let me tell you, folks, it's some fine wordsmithing. We got to tell him that he's not a shitty writer, because honestly, he's not. It's pretty damn good. So a lot of the book, the first draft, is in. We got a lot of work to do, a lot of rearranging and figuring out how it's all going to work together, but I'm really excited about the content we're creating for that. The world is so much bigger and interesting now, thanks to the work with Jimmy and the really fun looking rules that are coming through from Cam Banks and Amanda Valentine. Amanda is worked on a lot of Fate Core and Fate products, and she comes to us as our editor in chief, and doing a lot of role-playing game massaging on the mechanics. That's all I'm going to say about that. Getting prepared for a simple The Gamers Darkness Rising Blu-ray Kickstarter coming in March. Don't look for any fancy huge reward levels here. We just need to pay the bills. We want to cover the costs and get you a really cool new product. Ben has actually even been able to up-res this son of a bitch to 1080p, and I haven't had a chance to look at it, but he assures me it looks great. Of course, when we do that, the flaws that are there are going to be that much more apparent, but, you know, fuck it. I want a Blu-ray, and that's why we're doing it. So there you go. Last little bit here. This is a project that we are supporting. We're a backer, and it's called Star Mazer. You might have seen it floating around on the Facebook. The Kickstarter is still going, but it's going to end soon. It's a video game. It looks freaking cool. And it is voiced by some very familiar actors. Brian Lewis, Trin Miller, Andy Dolbarowski, and Scott C. Brown. They are among a few other cast members, but they are featured prominently. I'm really looking forward to this game. And they need your help. They're still got a ways to go on that Kickstarter. So go check it out. We're going to post the link on the Dead FM website. We'll also share it on the social media. Share that sucker. I highly encourage you to back even at a dollar. So check that out. Well, I know how to clear them out. That is Dead FM News, Man on the Street. And I'm still alive somehow. Hey, a little postscript here on the Man on the Street. I wanted to re-mention the questions, the Q&A for this show, Dead FM. We did get one question, and I wanted to get a couple of more before we started the feature on the show. We're going to do just kind of a pass the mic, answer the questions feature for Q&A. Send in your questions dead.fm@deadgentleman.com, or we're going ahead to create a little form that you can fill out on the website on this post here. Try and include that on each episode that you can just plug away, put your name in there, your email address, and you can ask any question you want. All right.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Galactic Love, everyone's favorite interstellar dating game. I'm your ever-charming host, Zagnut Threepork. As usual, we have one lucky contestant looking for love, and three potential multicellular matches for her to quiz before she picks and then meets her dream date. Let's meet our contestant. A cosmic cosmetologist from Rigon 9. Please give a warm welcome to Sally. Yeah!
Hi, Zagnut. It's so great to be here.
Please, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I like long walks on the Mercury beaches, hiding from the sun during our 36-hour day cycles, styling tentacles, and I totally just got into Scandal.
Wonderful. We're so glad you're with us. Now, let me tell you a little bit about your potential future dates. Date number one is a little guy with a big heart and a lot of energy, and he's sure not afraid of commitment. He hails all the way from Skaro. Date number two is really into technology and self-improvement. Finally, date number three is the tall, quiet type, and he's super into nature. Who would you like to start with?
I don't know where to begin. This is so exciting. I guess I'll just go in order. Number one, if you were a cartoon character, who would you be?
Exterminate!
Did the Universal Translator get that right?
Maybe not. We'll make sure. Maybe ask one of the other contestants.
Date two, what are you looking for in a partner?
We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own.
Ooh, kinky.
How about number three?
Three, what's your idea of a perfect first date?
I am Groot.
Nice to meet you. I want to go back to number two. He was intriguing. If you and I...
Resistance is futile.
Excuse me?
You will be assimilated.
Well, a girl can hardly ask for more than that, can she?
I am Groot.
Sorry, pal, you had your chance.
Exterminate! Exterminate!
We are the Borg.
It's nice to meet you.
Exterminate.
So what do you want to do later?
Lower your shields and surrender your ships.
You do know how to sweet talk a girl.
All right. Looks like that wraps it up for another episode of Galactic Love. And we're thrilled for Sally and her guy. Best of luck to them on their almost all expenses paid tour of Orion's Belt.
This is Sir Osric of White Tower. You are listening to Dead FM. I don't know what that is. It sounds like it might be necromantic. I suggest you cease what you are doing immediately and repent. Ask for the forgiving light of Theron.
Welcome once again to Bardline with Quillen and Quarrel. This week is a very special week.
Very special indeed, Quillen.
That's right, Quarrel. This weekend is Lover's Night, that one night a year where even the loneliest ogre's heart turns to thoughts of amore.
Even if charisma is your dump stat, Lover's Night brings out the romance in all of us, especially the aromancers. You can't spell...
Absolutely, Quarrel. And because I have so much love in my heart, I'm not going to let you finish that pun.
Oh, Quillen, you scamp. On tonight's Bardline, we're going to take your calls and answer your deepest, darkest questions about the ethereal mistress that is love.
Sure thing, Quarrel. We're here to slay the mystery, conquer the mystique, essentially just beat all of the magic right out of the world's most cryptic emotion. Really just kick it until it croaks.
Anything you've always wanted to know but were too afraid to ask, just conjure up the mouth and give us a call.
You're on the air, caller.
Hi. Hey, I'm a quadrosexual flirn in a long-term relationship with a dynamite gal. We met at a conjuring event last cycle when her father bore me into being from the whorish nether realm I inhabited, where every second was an eternity of tortured screams of the lesser realms.
Uh-huh. And what's your question, caller?
Well, after you've devoured someone completely and digested their soul and returned them from the maw of 10 hells to a mortal vessel, what's left to keep the spark alive?
Wow. Now that's a real head-scratcher, Quillen. What do you think?
Well, Quarrel, it can be tough to appreciate your partner after you feel like you know everything about each other. But that's no reason to give up on your relationship, caller. Think back to the times when your love was new, when you hadn't forced her eyes to peer into the void. Bring home some flowers for no reason. Cook her an intimate dinner. Hold her gently when the madness is the only language she can speak. Remember, when you're flaying her mind, you're also flaying her heart.
Great advice, Quillen. And thanks to you, caller. I hope you two have a great lover's night. Now, before we go on to another caller, I want to take a moment to tell our viewers about our sponsor. This week's episode of Bardline is brought to you by Mordekainen's Apothecary. If you're looking for a special last-minute gift, or you need the components to banish a long-dead god king, Mordekainen's has what you need at a price you can afford. Mordekainen's Apothecary, located in Waterdeep across from Brumble's Baggery in the South Ward. Tell them Quarrel sent you and get 15% off your first purchase. Now let's get back to the lines.
Caller, you're on Bardline with Quillen and Quarrel.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Well, the producers keep telling us we have to.
Quarrel, you're too much. He's just joking with you, caller. What can we help you with?
Well, I've been dating someone for a few years, and I've decided I just... You know, I can't live without him. Our parents don't approve because he's a drow, and they're Eladrin of the Feywild. They've completely disowned me and cut me off from their riches... You know, but I make a damn fine living on my own adventuring. I'm just gonna pop the question, but I don't know what kind of ring I should get.
We get this one all the time. The rule of thumb is that you should spend 2 months' loot on any engagement trinket. Now, I know that seems like a lot, but remember, this is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. It hardly seems like that much in the grand scheme of things.
Quarrel, I have to respectfully disagree. This whole 2 months loot thing is nothing more than a ploy by the trinket merchants to bilk young lovers out of their gold.
Oh? Do tell.
The whole tradition was nothing more than a marketing ploy put together by alchemists to push their shoddy wares. I mean, look at the history books. This is hardly an ancient practice, but they'd have you believe it was forged in the same fires that birthed Faerun. The simple truth is, most of these jewels they push on young men and women desperate to impress their partners have no intrinsic value. I mean, most of them don't even have any enchantments. And the vast majority come from the disputed Cormyr region. Slavers and barons line their pockets on the profits milked from this farce.
I never pegged you as a conspiracy theorist, Quillen. So you're telling me that there's some gigantic cabal of vendors who have created a market for worthless goods built around insecurity and competition? That the many and varied peoples of this plane have been tricked into a never-ending arms race of bauble-buying to show their viability as mates, as civilization has taken us out of the world where the strongest can just take what he or she desires by sheer force?
I am saying that, Quarrel, yes.
Well, what do you suggest our young lover do, then?
Collar, you truly love this man of yours, yes?
Of course! He's the best thing in my life!
Then you take your loot, put it in your pack, and go to him. Tell him what you feel, and that you want a life together. Take that loot and get yourselves a cottage of your own. Start your lives together. If he feels the same way about you, surely he'll respect your decision to invest in your future instead of a shiny rock that doesn't even grant you resistance to cold.
Wow, thank you. I'll do it. Oh, and Ardwith, I love—
You sure are a piece of work, Quillen. Well, folks, that wraps up our special Lover's Night episode of Bardline. Remember to love the one you're with, even if you're by yourself.
Join us next week when our special guest will be Gornak Armripper, here to talk about the significance and importance of Orc History Month.
We get two consecutive days of nonsense this week. Friday the 13th and Valentine's Day. The V-Day, sometimes known as SAD, or Sad Day. You know, Singles Awareness Day. I call these days nonsense because people attribute too much emotional baggage to these days. That causes them to make unfortunate and sometimes stupid decisions. One ingrained in deep superstition and the other in societal and psychological sort of a set of expectations that can turn a person unreasonable. Let's first talk about Friday the 13th. Not even among my favorite horror movie franchises, but memorable, I'll give them that. Don't think that this day is a big of a deal. According to an article in National Geographic in 2004, it's quoted that an estimated $800 to $900 million is lost in business in the U.S., on Friday the 13th. Refusing to fly on the day, not buying a house, or committing to making certain stock trades or purchases, whatever the hell it is, that's a goddamn lot of money. A number that's been quoted around the internet is somewhere between 17 to 21 million people in the US have a diagnosed phobia about Friday the 13th. Frigatriskaidekaphobia. So, with some quick additional Google foo, you can find that Friday the 13th, as a day of bad omens and bad luck, doesn't have a lot of ancient history to support it. That is, as a combination of Friday and the number 13. It is, in fact, merely a pairing of the two things that independently are known for bad omens. So when you combine them together, you get, you know, the super bad day. Fridays have a particularly serious bad rap for millennia. You can check out the Snopes link for some interesting examples. Anyway, the number 13 is definitely super unlucky and superstitious even to this day in practical life. The lack of 13th floors in hotels or even some high-rises, for example. A lot of airports don't have a 13th gate. Hospitals often skip a room 13. The badness of 13 has often been traced back to Norse mythology, where there is a dinner party of the gods, 12 guests in all. However, a 13th uninvited guest arrived, and that was Loki. It was a huge upset, and Baldur, the god of joy and gladness, ends up murdered. Since then, it's been bad omens to have dinner parties of 13 or other types of gatherings with 13. As, you know, like Judas was the 13th guest at the Last Supper, those kinds of things. I'm not really trying to debunk this day as Friday the 13th or whatnot, just to inform you a little better. Some people are like that. Hey, this really came from this, so everything is total bullshit today. Well, I do think that Friday the 13th is bullshit, but to a ton of people, it's a real problem. In the 1880s, there was a 13 club established to actually debunk Friday the 13th. They'd meet on the 13th day of the month for dinner, 13 guests. The guests were encouraged to walk under ladders on their way to the meeting, spill plenty of salt on the dinner table, and even break a few mirrors. A big fuck you to the Friday the 13th. I admire that kind of resistance. Too bad they all died within 1 year. That's my ironic end to that story, the ending I just made up. We'll be back to Dead FM after this important message.
Hello there, male in a relationship. This is your friendly neighborhood jewelry store. Valentine's Day is coming up. If you forget, don't worry. We will remind you 30 to 45 times a day. You don't want to look like some sort of despicable villain whose apathy towards this made-up holiday is seen as direct indifference to your partner, do you? Well, have no fear. We're here to collect your paycheck. Help. we're here to help. For some reason, we haven't quite figured out how to market to females in this made-up holiday we fabricated. So that's why we're going to speak in relaxing tones and pitch you a deal that will probably be far cheaper 2 weeks from now. We're speaking, of course, of our Sweethearts package. We know that you may be unsure if you should spend hundreds of dollars on some trinket of jewelry your partner will probably only wear on 3 occasions in their lifetime, so we thought we'd sweeten the deal. Now, for a limited time, when we say that, it sounds a little bit more exclusive. We're gonna throw in some upper-end chocolate that you could get at a local drugstore for about $6.99. How does that sound? Everybody loves chocolate. Unlike our diamonds, you can be conflict-free about a decision that sweet. And don't worry, you'll be able to find us. We're not hard to spot. We may make it seem like we're a small, caring local family chain, but there are literally hundreds of our stores peppered all around the country. You might as well visit us, because we've spoken to all your partner's friends. They already came in and bought their sweetheart package, and right now, their packages are looking much bigger than yours. Come on, give in. It sure beats the pearl necklace you gave her last year. Sincerely yours, Every Jewelry Company Ever.
On to Valentine's Day. Besides a short stint in college, I've always pretty much hated the holiday as far as holidays go. Nathan Rice actually might have hated it more. I, for several years, never saw him sober on the dreaded V-Day. I joined him on at least one occasion. You see what I mean about unreasonable behavior, though? The day is sad. Single Awareness Day. Hey, singles, feeling shitty on Valentine's Day? Remember what I just said about the 13 Club? Oh, and for those of you lovey-dovey people who actually like this shitty holiday, buying cards, awful chalk candy with little sayings on them, chocolates, and oh, let's not forget the major stuff, diamond rings, expensive lingerie, guilty. Remember that short stint in college I mentioned? I look hot in a tent. People dump lots of money on this, and in 1913, Hallmark started mass producing those little Valentines, and the business have been booming ever since. Okay, so sure, a lot of holidays can be reduced to pointless commercialism and sappy sentimentalism, but let's look at the true romance behind why there is a Valentine's Day. Oh sure, Saint Valentine, you say. Well, which one? Say what? Yeah, by the way, there's more than one Saint Valentine, and most of them are associated with the holiday. Martyrs of early Christianity, typically. One performing weddings when the Emperor Claudius II of Rome forbade young people to marry. Why? Well, turns out unwed young people make better soldiers. very practical, actually. So when the 3rd century CE Valentinus, a defiant priest, starts marrying off youngsters in secrecy, yeah, you're going against Rome, so we all know how that turns out. See Spartacus and Jesus, for example. It's said he was martyred on February 14th. Turns out another Valentine was martyred on the same day during the same century as well. You know, if you find out your name is Valentine and you live in the 3rd century CE, change your goddamn name. But let's go back to where the festival most likely came from. Lupercalia! Holy shit, folks, let's talk about a romantic festival. In ancient times, this took place between February 13 and 15, where men would murder a goat and a dog and take their intestines and whip women with them, you know, to make them fertile. Some sources say it was just the hides. Either one will surely make the panties drop with some good old-fashioned animal murder and domestic violence. And apparently it was true. The women lined up to receive their awful thrashings in hopes of inspiring pregnancy. Then the guys would draw names of the women from a jar and they'd pair up, if you know what I mean, and see if the ritual stuck. Now that's goddamn romantic with a capital R, literally. You know, today we could dissolve the whole gender requirements of that. Think of the livestock trade boom, and now all those euthanized pound puppies could be sacrificed for a greater cause. Hey honey, I got you a puppy. Well, to be fair, I got you a puppy and a goat. Entrails or skin and fur? Your choice, you naughty sweetheart, you. NPR did a great piece on this, much of which I'm drawing from, so I'll be sure to include that link as well as a few other sources for your enjoyment. Circling back though, I'm not telling you this to debunk it or whatever. I value context and making mindful choices. My wife and I have never really made Valentine's Day a priority in our life. In fact, our wedding anniversary is 1 week after the 21st. In the year we were married, we chose that date because it wasn't Valentine's Day, and the 28th of February marked the start of Lent. We're Lutheran, and getting married during Lent just sounded depressing, so the 21st is our day. It's weird though, I remember as a kid getting those Valentines, you know, the little cards that you addressed a little message to each of your classmates and drop it in their little Valentine's Day bag. Sort of a forced emotional connection or sentimentality. Sometimes you got to get that secret love note off to whoever you had a crush on and was able to remain anonymous. Well, here I am pushing 40 and at my new job, and they put up Valentine's Day bags on every cubicle for whoever who wants to participate. And some people think this is cute. I'm not playing. I also don't know how to play in this particular context. I mean, I'm married with a daughter, I'm happy. I get daily appreciation and I give daily appreciation to my teammates, so I just opt out. But for those of you who hate the holiday and get depressed by it, lonely by it, or maybe you feel stressed out about what you're gonna get your significant other or whatever, you gotta give society the finger that day. Make your own goddamn mind about what you want to do. I recommend gaming. Get your friends together and play a role-playing game or a board game. Take your family out to a climbing gym and pretend you're on the way to Mordor or something. There's no reason to wallow in misery or stress because society says you should appreciate your sweetie that day, which assumes you have one. Fuck 'em. Celebrate something you actually like and that genuinely makes you feel good. I don't know, maybe someday something will make this holiday personally meaningful for me. But I'll pass this year. Happy Lupercalia, everyone. Get 13 of you together for dinner this Friday, would ya?
This message brought to you by Nathan Rice, not paid for by him at all.
Hey, what's got you down?
I'm always kind of bum when I'm single this time of year.
Well, that's because you're not drinking O-Cola.
O-Cola?
O-Cola is the only beverage on the market that harnesses the power of all your favorite mood and energy-stimulating herbs and supplements, along with a generous heaping helping of everyone's favorite feel-good hormone, oxytocin.
Wait, isn't that something to do with getting pregnant?
It's what your body releases whenever you feel happy, especially including those times when you get down with the ladies.
Well then, why wouldn't I just...
Hey, lonely boy. You want the soda or not?
Sure, I guess.
Now we're talking.
That's not very good. It tastes kind of like...
But how do you feel?
I feel... Oh, wow. I think it just kicked in. I feel amazing. You're amazing. Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Sad? Lonely? Try O-Cola and find your bliss. O-Cola effects are temporary and will wear off within 2 hours, after which time you may feel even more sad and alone. Contact your physician if you have thoughts of self-harm or suicide. Side effects may include hair loss, genital malfunction...
Wait, what?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Dead FM is directed by Don Early.
Contributors to Dead FM are Scott C. Brown, Andy Dabrowski, Christian Doyle, Chris Dupenthaler, Don Early, Brian Lewis, Jimmy McMichael, Tiffany Pike, Bo Pritchard, Emily Shimkus, and Matt Shimkus. Dead FM theme song High Road is written by Sean Bendixson, performed by the Bendixson Brothers, and arranged by Steve Wolbrecht. Dead FM is copyright 2015, Dead Gentlemen Productions, LLC, all rights reserved.
Don't forget to subscribe to Dead FM on iTunes, Stitcher, or however the hell else you get your podcasts.
Now that's a goddamn podcast. No, climbing on the water plane, guess I can't complain of being up so low. Goodbye.